Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 444. This is Kevin DeFrango. On one side of me is Jeremy Mays. What is going on, sir?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Not much here. On the other side, since that seemed to be a short introduction, Chris Calamita, what's going on, Chief?
Oh, not a heck of a lot, Kevin. Just finishing up this SmackDown show, and I already had something of a rant about the current state of SmackDown as it relates to a recent announcement about WWE possibly going back to dual-branded pay-per-views every month. And I think, I'm sorry, Kevin, I know you've spent good money to go to this Fastlane show long before you knew anything about the lineup, but the real lineup, I should say. But oh man, is this show looking to be a prime example of why just going back to dual brands is being able to pull from the entire WWE roster is a much better idea than the current system, because man, when you've got Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin in the main event, what the hell are they gonna fill up that undercard with?
I started thinking to myself, I'm like, hold on, what did they just advertise? I was trying to remember what the advertisement was on TV here for the coming Fastlane pay-per-view. And unfortunately, I have gotten Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura swapped out for Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin.
Wasn't Shinsuke even on the show, was he? I took a shower during the New Day Gable and Benjamin thing.
No.
And then AJ Styles wasn't on either, was he?
No. Neither of them were on the show in any way, shape, or form. They got nothing.
When is Fastlane again? Is it next week?
It's March. No. One's not until March 11th.
Yeah, I want to say it was the 10th.
So the 11th, yeah. I think it's the 11th, yeah. But yeah. So there's still 4 weeks left, or there are three more episodes of SmackDown left.
Oh my God!
With this group of five main eventers to tell stories with for the next 3 weeks and mix and match and have them face each other.
I mean, there's got to be a possibility they're going to change all this, because I saw your comment on the Facebook thing about how every one of the challengers is a loser going into this. And I maybe they're just trying to stack the odds to make AJ Styles look even more impressive, but do we really need for AJ Styles to look more impressive than he already is? I was dumbfounded Owens lost to Baron Corbin, and then Sami Zayn lost to Ziggler. Like, Ziggler, who no one cares about, the entire gimmick is he doesn't care about the fans, and then he's standing tall at the end, soaking in the adulation of the WWE universe.
It's just...
Make
it's
up your fucking minds.
It's terrible stuff. It's everything they've done with Dolph Ziggler, well, for a long time, but especially since December, has just makes no sense at all. I mean, good on Dolph Ziggler if he really did land a new big money contract to keep him from leaving. But
okay, I've read about that. Why would they give him big money to keep him? I mean, honestly, why? I mean, good for him to get the money, but why would you want him to be? Dead serious. What does he bring you?
They have other people that could take his place easily.
Yeah, with the same amount of impact too.
Yeah. I mean, there is no reason to pay him big money. Whether it's been the writing or. And, I mean, some of it sounds like his online griping, so, I mean, they've kind of taken some of it from kind of for real, kind of shoot, mm-hmm. and put it into his character, and it still hasn't really worked for him at all. So, you know, there's something missing just isn't working for him at all.
Yeah, and with their stable of talent, and this is why I said it doesn't matter. This is why I'm surprised they would want him still. With the sizable amount of talent they have, has anyone missed him? And again, this isn't even a personal attack. This is a business aspect of it. He's gone. You haven't written anything for him. Well, who cares? So you bring him back, put him in a main event where you're like, okay. I mean, I'd rather, honestly, would have rather seen Randy Orton, well, for you, Jinder Mahal. Now, Bobby Roode, he's the U.S. champ, so he can't have that. But you got a guy, Ty Dillinger's wasting away, regardless if you like him or not.
There is basically a Ziggler 2.0, and, well, actually without the accomplishments. But he's kind of a fan favorite, and that's how he got up to the roster. But, I mean, they really have done nothing with him.
Yeah. He's working house shows, I think. And then I know he's on his way back, but you've even got Mike Kanellis. And it's not that these are more talented people or better characters, but they're untapped characters to where what else can we get out of a Dolph Ziggler? I mean, he was, if you want to go, he's the internet fan favorite for years, but now who cares? I mean,
well, and even the internet is kind of, he's been lost on the internet for a few years at this point, too.
And not even like a hateful, though. It's not hateful, it's just, okay, we've moved on, it's moved on to someone else. And the crowds, with that awful, like, canned, like, public domain record scratch, and then they start his music again. And it's like, I don't know, just watching the show today, I was like, wouldn't you want to make Owens and Sami Zayn look as strong as possible going into this match to make AJ Styles win even more impressive? Because I can't imagine he's going to lose. You know? I mean,
A multi-person match. I'm never surprised when the champion retains.
Yeah, well, especially with him, because Shinsuke Nakamura hasn't exactly been burning up SmackDown. He's gotten better. The Royal Rumble was a great way to reignite him. So what better way to keep it going than to have AJ Styles look like Superman, beating everybody? So it's like, well, he's beating two people at a time. How is Shinsuke Nakamura going to beat, just straight up beat him? You know, just something like that. And make it like, wow, that happened? So so we totally lose Chris? Because, I mean, there he is.
I was just kind of surprised he hadn't chimed in.
Yeah, I messaged you saying, hey, we lost Chris. I was actually holding my phone up going, hey.
Oh.
Yes. So that's why it's been Kevin and I. It's not, like I said, it's not even a hate for it, but. Welcome back.
Hey, there we go. All right.
We were complaining about how other talent could be used instead of Dolph Ziggler. We brought up Ty Dillinger, Mike Kanellis, just any of these guys instead of using Dolph Ziggler again. I even said put Jinder Mahal in the thing or put Randy Orton back in.
Yeah, no, Randy Orton should definitely be back in. I don't know who the fifth guy should be, or if there even should be a fifth guy. You might as well just put, you know what, make it a four-way with Orton. Ben Orton can lose and probably not get pinned, and then move into a U.S. title singles match with Bobby Roode at WrestleMania, with one of them preferably turning heel.
Bobby Roode.
Yeah, probably Bobby Roode, yes. Yeah. Although Randy Orton would prefer it to be Randy Orton, but...
But doesn't Randy Orton just kind of work being Randy Orton now?
Yeah, I guess, at this point, yeah. Randy Orton is Randy Orton.
Yeah.
He's in that sort of Roman Reigns / John Cena category where he kind of...
I don't understand. Like, I thought Dolph Ziggler signed a 5-year deal a year or two ago, so I don't know exactly where these reports of him signing a new deal are coming from this week, but if it's true... I don't get it. I don't get why they think that they need to keep him around and why he's valuable enough to keep around, to keep him out of, New Japan, New Ring of Honor, or wherever. He's Dolph Ziggler. And he can't even use that name, for fuck's sake.
Good. Good for him. Nick Nemeth. That's a better name.
You know what? Maybe he would do well on the outside. He probably would do better, but... Look, I don't get why they're fighting so hard to keep him above all the people they've let loose.
But I'm trying to read about the sweetheart deal of what he supposedly got. So
yeah.
For 2 more years.
It'll be interesting, you know, when I know there was a month or so ago, an argument about, you know, women's pay in wrestling and WWE, but I imagine the contracts that say Charlotte, Sasha, and Becky signed, you know, when they first came up from NXT are probably coming up this summer because they typically do 3-year deals there. There is no argument that any of those three girls are less valuable to the company than Dolph Ziggler. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of money, you know, they get offered and what, and of course also what they're able to negotiate for themselves, you know. Not totally a one-way street there. But yeah, no. It's just, I just feel like there's nothing you can do to rehab Dolph Ziggler anymore. There's just, they had one shot last year with the whole Miz thing, and they decided, you know, the Miz was more important and put Dolph Ziggler back in his place.
Yeah, in that case, I agree. Miz is more important.
Yeah, Miz is important, and you know what? In the grander scheme of what's wrong with SmackDown, the Miz was the absolute biggest thing that they lost in that shakeup after WrestleMania. He was so important to SmackDown, especially in a 2-hour show where you could put him in multiple segments, and you know he could, you know, be the straw that stirred the drink and the heat magnet. His presence has been missed most of all on SmackDown since the shakeup just totally screwed over SmackDown.
Yeah, and now, well, I think losing John Cena probably hasn't helped a whole lot either.
No. It's a combination. SmackDown's current state is a combination of three things. The talent they lost in the shakeup, the decision to make John Cena mostly Raw, and then the Jinder Mahal title reign.
Okay, since you mentioned him, I actually don't mind him anymore. I don't know if it was just because he was a champion, but like when he came out today, I was like, yeah, cool. This is pretty much where he should have been.
You know, I actually just enjoyed that segment, period. Like, I know that SmackDown was mostly a dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm. I actually forgot about it until we started talking about it.
I liked, because even though it wasn't really heelish, I kind of liked Bobby Roode going, dude, Orton, you're a fucking dick for attacking people from behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true, he is.
Yeah.
He's always been.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I don't know if that makes Roode a heel, but it definitely gives him an edge that he needs with that character.
Well, they call Randy Orton the Viper still. Yeah, that's what he's supposed to be, right? A snake just attacks you out of the blue because they suck. So,
yeah, right, they do.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, yeah, it fits. And as Randy Orton just doesn't look that interested, anyways, doing anything wrestling related. So.
So true.
Yeah, he does. He really doesn't look interested. And I don't blame him. He's been around for a long time. So.
And he has had the worst 2 years, more than 2 years, because from his injury that, you know, tearing his shoulder out by, taking out the trash that, you know, that's just got to be embarrassing. Comes back for that whole Bray Wyatt, awful Bray Wyatt storyline. Then moves on to losing the title to Jinder Mahal. And then loses to Jinder Mahal 2 more times after that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. In between the injury and the Bray Wyatt feud, he was nearly killed by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Oof.
Which I have a feeling he'll throw out a quip on Twitter every once in a while, you know, related to Brock or something. So I'm fairly certain he's still legitimately bitter about that. Yeah, I mean, you know, he got himself his sweetheart deal, which is way more of a deserved sweetheart deal than Dolph Ziggler would ever deserve.
Well, see, it's funny, and this is such a small thing, but Orton's been growing his hair out, which is something he hasn't done for, what, 10 years?
It's been a while.
And I remember like, on Edge and Christian, and they were talking about how they were all trying out for movies, and at the time I thought it was a joke. They were all going for the same Marvel role. And Edge goes, well, congratulations on the role. He goes, well, you know, it's not announced. Something like that. So part of me wonders if he's doing this because he's got a like an actual movie role coming up. He's going to lose and take off.
Hey, if he does, good for him. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of almost surprised. Like, I mean, they've always... Yeah, I guess it can be said that he's a good-looking guy, so I don't know if he's just not a good actor, but, I mean, they threw him into their own movies pretty early.
Yeah, well, he was also on that TV show Shooter as well.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Shooter.
I would not USA have remembered Network. This.
USA Network's a great lineup of programming. Original programming that does ratings so low that today's WWE ratings are considered gold to them.
Hey, I still enjoy some of USA's house-made television shows. So,
yeah, Mr. Robot's still really good. But then again, being good doesn't mean people are watching either. So,
right.
That's a problem. Problem with a lot of shows, like The Americans, which is coming back. No one watches that. So. Still great.
Isn't that like its 10th season or something that they just think?
No, only 6 years. This is the last season.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Okay. 6 years? Six years is a good run.
Yeah, of no one talking about a show, though. I mean, it kills The Walking Dead for quality. But Walking Dead is gigantic.
Well, Walking Dead has been going downhill for the last couple of years.
I don't know about this season was not dragged out at all. You know, when you have...
I'm still 4 episodes behind, so...
Are you kidding?
It's almost back.
Yes! Actually, isn't it back 2 weeks?
Yeah, something like that, because I know that a preview taped this weekend, I'm pretty sure.
Do you know about the spoilers of it?
Huh?
Do you know, like, the big spoiler?
No.
I don't really care enough to look for this.
That's actually remarkable. That's why I asked first. That's really remarkable.
I remember you saying something about it, but I never clicked on any links. And the only person I follow from The Walking Dead is what's his name, Norman Reedus.
Yeah, he barely posts anything about Walking Dead. Actually, it's always about his art.
Yeah, or the, what is it, The Ride or whatever the other show
is. Yeah. Which, so, by the way, speaking to get back to wrestling, did you guys see Ride Along with Elias in the club?
I have week? Not. No, not yet. No.
they went all in on Elias. Like, he was in character the whole time. And, you know, the Bullet Club wasn't. And it's pretty entertaining. So, like, I don't hate Elias. I think he's pretty entertaining anyways. And this, like, they actually go to a recording studio because all the songs he sings during Ride Along, they're actually going to put out an Elias album that you can get on iTunes soon. So,
oh, good. They should.
Wait till you hear the songs.
Wait till you see
how he interacts in the studio with people, which I thought that was even better. So, yeah, it's... I thought it was pretty entertaining, so.
I don't know. It all just seemed too a little gimmicky for me. I'm a ride-along traditionalist myself.
Oh, my God. Oh. say now.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, so. I don't know. After watching Raw, and Raw was fine. It wasn't, like, other than Braun Strowman carrying a cello around like it was a tennis racket. Raw had good matches, and that was about it. But
Raw was Raw had good matches. Once again, there'll always be the issues of of the 3 hour length and pacing of the show. And but once again, Raw's been on a pretty good run. For a little while now, there hasn't been a horribly bad or boring episode in this year. Let's just say in this such as it is. Why wouldn't they? They took all the talent and and they get all the guest stars and
yeah. What cracked me up though is you could see the end of the main event coming with the double pin. I was just surprised that they announced it on, what was it, Facebook or Twitter? They showed Kurt Angle making a decision. And Facebook, then I started wondering, is this just all part of the build-up to him versus Triple H? Like, all of his poor decisions? And Stephanie or Triple H steps in and is like, no, enough of this. You're not good at this.
I still don't see where they're going with so much stuff heading into WrestleMania. Usually Triple H, by virtue of being Triple H, he gets to set up this long, epic storyline for himself that usually stretches 6 to 9 months to build up his match at WrestleMania. But this time, he did stuff, the week, of Survivor Series with Kurt Angle and with Braun Strowman, and then they followed up on none of it. So I'm not sure where they're going. There's still the mixed tag rumors of what was Stephanie and Rousey, but who would the partner be if Rock's not available, and if they didn't lock down Rock months ago, if not then I don't see how they think they could still get him, because he's the busiest man in the world and he gets busier every freaking day,
plus insurance too,
and it's an insurance issue. So I don't know where they're and no one else really fits the role of a partner that you have. You're got serious issues with Route. Did you, the live crowd in San Jose reacted more positively to the news of Jason Jordan being injured and out of WrestleMania than they did to Ronda Rousey signing with Raw?
Like Shahid and I talked about that on We Watch Stuff last week, because we've missed missed shows. I was sick and. I just said, how do you feel about Rousey being there? And she was up for it. I'm like, I don't really care either way. All right. So, the crowd, not appreciating her doesn't really bug me too much. But I liked the reaction to Jason Jordan being cheered that he was out. And that Kurt's like, how can you people do that? It's shut up. Keep it in the storyline. People don't like Jason Jordan. So that's why they're gonna cheer. Screw
him. But he did keep it in the storyline. He's his son.
Yeah, and I think that helps Jordan get more booze. It's still just a version of the original Kurt Angle who got booed for being too goody-goody. With a little bit of a twist. So I actually enjoyed that. Oh man, this is just gonna get Jordan booed even more if Angle defends him now.
that's all I really remember of Raw. I didn't really care. And then, although what we were talking about, Kevin, and I'll see what you think about this, Chris. John Cena shouldn't have beat the Miz.
No, Miz actually has momentum right now.
Well, I'm just thinking if for their storyline with John Cena. Which is absurd that he wouldn't be at WrestleMania if he's not hurt. But if they're going to bring up this whole thing about how, he's got to earn his way in and do this, wouldn't it have been better if he lost and made, the odds even stacked even greater against him? Instead of him coming in whatever he's going to come in now. And because he hasn't looked good in his matches. The match has been fine, but he physically looks like he's tired. And they've even pointed it out on the broadcast, too. So I just thought it would be smarter to have John Cena lose and then be like, well, my road's even harder. Because they still got, what, 2 weeks before Elimination Chamber? Or a week
Yeah,
now?
2 weeks. One more episode, So,
yeah, but build up the sympathy part of it. I mean, people aren't going to be sympathetic, but if you're going to stick with your story, stick with your story. Like, yeah, that sucks. I blew it again, and I don't know. And then maybe this is all part of the I don't know if they're still going to go the Taker Cena route. And then just have Cena be like, you know what, maybe I'm on the downturn, just like I'm doubting myself something. And then he goes, there's only one thing left I can do at WrestleMania, and that's how they get, you know, Taker to come back. I don't know.
Be the third man to ever beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
I wonder if that would actually happen. But if it really is Taker's last match, he has to lose. I know. No, I mean,
I'm so down on him coming back.
Yes.
Especially for a match that's not going to mean absolutely nothing to the WWE's future. I thought if there was any lesson to be learned from that 25th anniversary episode of Raw, it's that it's time to leave the past in the past, and it's time to start to really move forward.
Yeah.
But no, we're going to have an entire match, at least one match that just looks like it's just going to be, you know, hey, here it is, special attraction. For one night only. Neither of these guys are... Well, maybe one of these guys will be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, that's the weird thing. Like, Cena's another guy that... I mean, he kind of mentioned it in his promo. He really doesn't have any clear path. Like, he's not going to fight Brock Lesnar.
Right. Now, you know,
but
no,
they have kind of alluded to possibly The Undertaker with some of his talks.
Yeah.
I mean, still hasn't really had a full feud with Elias, and I think that, honestly, at this point, that would be, to me, fine enough for Cena and Elias at WrestleMania. I mean, it seems like a good enough match. I mean, they're really pushing Elias.
Yeah, that would definitely be something. And here's another thing. If they are going with Cena and Undertaker... Is there any reason the buildup can't take place on SmackDown?
Yeah.
To give that show some star power headed into WrestleMania? Just throwing it out there.
No, I don't disagree with you. So it's like, yeah. It's one of those, right. Like, no offense, it's one of those like, yeah, so yeah. What else are we going to talk about now? Yeah, exactly. Hey, everyone likes getting a lot of money, right? Oh, okay, cool. And that's it. Yeah. No, they got to do something with SmackDown, but we may not see another segment of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn not winning, and all the heels. Like, was Rusev wasn't even on, right?
No, Rusev, nothing at all.
I would have preferred him in the match than.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, there's so many people.
Just...
And I'm still more bothered by Corbin being in the match, actually. As much as I'm bothered by Ziggler and... At least he'll be good in it. At least he'll do his usual. Even when he's half-assing it, he still, you know, takes his bumps and whatever. But Corbin just... Ugh. like dragging around an anchor in that match. It already isn't really going to have much heat. They have come... We're going back to SmackDown, folks. It has no heat. This whole thing with Owens and Zayn and Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon has dragged on far too long. It should have hit its crescendo at the Royal Rumble. It didn't. And now, you know, people really don't care anymore. You're adding different new people into the mix who, you know, so... What is even going to, you know, is anything going to happen in this match besides AJ Styles getting his hands raised?
No, and really that's all it should be, is him overcoming all these odds.
Yeah.
That's it.
It absolutely should be.
So.
But I guess until the match happens, I will still at least have some bated breath in me that they won't think, no. Just go with Styles and Nakamura. We don't need to swerve here. It's okay that it's obvious.
Yeah, it is okay because pretty much all the fans that will be at WrestleMania will be completely hyped for that match.
Yes. Yeah, there's no way around that one. And I really don't even care who wins that one either. So
yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess it's not ideal to not have a favorite. I guess, you know what? I'd be rooting for Nakamura on that match.
Oh, see, I was going to say I'd be for AJ Styles. If I have to pick one, AJ Styles, because it's the guy's great. And he's really, besides Rusev, but it's hard to really care about Rusev. Because no matter how much you get behind him, you know they're just going to let you down with the way they use him. That dude's money, and clear example, he puts a stupid-ass calendar out that just says Rusev Day. They immediately run out of the original print run. That should tell them something. That should tell... whatever.
Well, at least he's getting that money, and they're apparently rolling out an entire line of Rusev Day merchandise, so, you know. He's just gonna be taken care of in that way.
And I mean, yeah, and that's what the New Day does. I'm still waiting for them to put pancake mix out. I mean, dead serious. How is that not a thing already?
That is the good question. It should be a thing already.
Or just like how you can buy like tostada shells at like Aldi or at the store. Why don't they just have already pre-made pancakes in like a package or something? I don't know. I don't know if you can do that. They go bad pretty quick. Well, I guess bread, but. If you're shipping it from WWE.com.
And, or FYE stores.
Yeah, it's probably not the greatest idea. So it'd have to be a mix then. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes the ideas got to work themselves out first. But yeah, it's like New Day's another one that I like them. They're not doing anything. And it was funny. I was reading an interview Kenny Omega did. And he was talking about how Big E should be in the contention for like the WWE title, and I'm like, yeah, that'd be fine. There's no reason they all can't go for individual belts or something or titles, whatever. That just the next elevation of them, instead of always going for tag team titles or sticking together like that. Just support each. We have never really had that. Just support each other in your pursuit of actual just individual gold. That'd be fine.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that the WWE doesn't know how to handle writing of three gentlemen getting along.
Yeah.
Breaking news from Twitter, from my own personal Twitter. On Friday night I was watching Honor Reign Supreme on the free stream they were doing out that Jeremy attended live.
That was Friday then.
That was Friday? Okay, that was Friday. All right.
Oh, we're getting to that. Oh, trust me.
Okay,
we're getting to that.
Then I'll wait for it. Sorry.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I'm just saying I decided to make a little douchey tweet about the announcing and saying that the commentary is being done by an unmotivated, beaten down by life Colt Cabana and some guy.
Oh, no.
And some guy just replied to me with his emoticons with the with the hand under the sun emoticon chin thing. Oh, I guess real people have feelings. Oh well.
I'm trying to find this.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. They actually don't bother me that much.
It was probably my first exposure to Ring of Honor in a while.
Perfect. Let's get into this. So, I haven't been to a Ring of Honor show, I think, Orlando for WrestleMania, 24?
Yeah.
Really? You never went to any of their other North Carolina stops?
No. And one, they had, I think it was out of town. And one, where they chose to have this is really inconsiderate, if you want to put it that way. Because the show started at 7 o'clock. The only way to get to this place is 485, 77, 85, and then back roads. Well, traffic kind of sucks in a major metropolitan area between 5 and 7 o'clock. So we had to actually take off early to get up there, and of course we stopped at the brewery first, but whatever, we got there on time. But Friday at 7 o'clock. No, it should have been Friday at 8. And that way everyone gets there. And really, with that crowd, it would have been better if we were all liquored up. Because, and I told, Eric Nelson was texting me. And I just told him, I was like, dude, it's not like the old days. The crowd's not there to watch the show. The crowd is there to be the show. And...
oh, I still have a lot of problems with the ROH crowds for the most part. They drive me far more bananas than anything else in that product.
Yeah, my buddy Fraser came with me, and he's not overly familiar with them. So he's like, who's that? I was like, I don't know. And one, I don't know if you've seen any of the footage on the internet or TV, whatever. That looks like a professional production on TV. When you're there, no, it does not. They understand their camera angles far better than I expected them to do. Because one, it wasn't that crowded. Two, I haven't seen that many black t-shirts in a long time. Which is funny, I'm wearing black now. But Bullet Club, Villain Club, American Nightmare, Kenny Omega, that's it. And the sizes ranged anywhere from extra large to quadruple extra large. Not a surprise. But the people watching was one thing. There was a dude dressed up in a SpongeBob SquarePants shirt. I don't mean it had SpongeBob SquarePants on it. I mean it was the eyes, nose, and mouth of SpongeBob. This guy was as wide as a table, so he looked like SpongeBob. He had one of those poop emoji hats on. This guy had the audacity to shit talk wrestlers. Because they could hear him, too.
Oh, man, this sounds like a priceless ticket.
Just wait. During the women's match, the girl was bigger. I'm sorry. I want to make sure I get everyone's names right. Which maybe in this case I really shouldn't.
It wasn't Kelly Klein, was it?
She was the partner, and she's hot as hell.
Mad
props, because she's got like a little bit of a pooch, and she was still wearing shorts and a belly shirt. And I'm like, yeah, I'll chew on that all night. well, I'll just get into this. The way the women present themselves is very 2000s. Like early 2000s, short booty shorts, like real tight crop tops. Like Mandy Leon was dressed like a stripper, and I'm not taking away from their talent because the match was good, but it's distracting when half your ass is hanging out.
Like, well, Mandy Leon, in my opinion, still needs some in ring help.
But I just thought their presentation was weird. But the other girl. The woman, god damn, where is it?
Stacy Shadows.
Thank you. God damn. I don't think these results I'm looking at are in the correct order, that's why. Anyways, she's a bigger girl. She worked pretty good. SpongeBob actually has the audacity to go, when Mandy Olin tried picking her up. And he goes, you can't pick her up, she's too fat! And I just looked over at him and was like, who the fuck are you to talk? It's like the crowd, like the guys around me started laughing. I'm like, I wasn't doing this to entertain you guys. It was annoying. Like, shut up. You think she doesn't know? But yeah, he had something to say for all the time. And he got in a little tete-a-tete with the Beer City Bruiser and Silas Young, who don't know how to shit talk. Ugh. Silas Young, you know, the last real man. The guy's like, you ain't no real man. He goes, your wife knows I'm a real man. And I'm like, oh my god. Are you fucking kidding me? And this went on and on. I'm like, no. Acting classes. Just something, you know? It came off with the crowd wanting to be involved in everything. And no, they cannot keep a chant going either. Hey, they're trying to chant. I think they're trying to chant Young Bucks. And then it was what's the Briscoe's thing? Dem Boys, even though they're bad guys. They're trying to get a Dem Boys chant going. Trying to get a Too Sweet chant going. Just a nightmare. A nightmare of no rhythm. And you just wait for it to end after a while. And it finally just kind of fades out. But going back to like the crowd wanting to be part of the show, they cheered for everybody. And it's like, it's really hard to have a face heel dynamic when I wasn't familiar with Chucky T and Beretta. I mean, I know who Beretta is. I know who Chuck Taylor is, but I didn't understand the best friends gimmick. Well, they started smoking right in the ring and wearing sunglasses, which, albeit, yeah, it was funny. I didn't understand it. And the crowd was cheering it. I'm like, are they good guys? Like, what's going on here? It was very strange. Very strange. Where in the old days, and yeah, I sound like an old man, Nigel McGuinness was a champion. He faced somebody. Eventually, they turned on him. But they cheered the one guy and booed this guy. And that was it. Like, now it's so strange. But, as Eric said, he goes, well, everybody in Ring of Honor kind of looks like me now. I'm like, oh, well. I mean, I wouldn't pat yourself on the back that much, but someone's still carrying that baby weight, and it's not Carly. So.
Wow. You know, that's just kind of funny. I think I mentioned this for a while now. The last few weeks, I've actually enjoyed the ROH stuff. Like, I thought when they lost a bunch of those guys like O'Reilly and Fish and Adam Cole that things would be pretty bad. But they've kind of brought in a bunch of new guys that I don't know. I guess I kind of like there's some odd stuff that I like. I like Matt Taven, but his Melvin's thing is equivalent to the whole nerd thing for the club.
He didn't do that at all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like him as a wrestler. I think he does kind of have. I think he's a fairly good talker, mm-hmm. Just in general. But yeah, he does this whole Melvin's thing that is so rooted in the 90s. It's just like, no.
I will say this, though.
Things don't come back. But, I mean, I've been surprised. I do think the production on TV has looked a lot better recently, which I've said previously, but I kind of just enjoy some of the talent that they've brought in, too.
Yeah, and that's one thing I guess I got to speak up real quick. The matches were good. Even like kind of like the throwaway ones, like Silas Young match, whatever. It was still good. It was still entertaining. So my criticism is not of the matches. I mean, Jay Lethal had a great match with someone. I don't even know who it was.
That's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, and that's what...
Because I watched the show with commentary. And, you know, and I don't remember who he faced. Holy crap.
Yeah, I just lost my results, but...
Flip Gordon? What the heck? No,
Flip Gordon lost to Punishment Martinez.
Who needs to be pushed to the moon?
Flip
Martinez? No. Oh, yeah.
Punishment Martinez.
Martinez is, well, I mean, he is getting his chance at the world title.
He's
so
pretty imposing looking.
Yeah, he's one of the new guys.
Where no one else is very imposing, yes, he definitely stands out.
I'm trying to find the Jay Lee. Jonathan Gresham.
Oh.
He's a little dude. And
I remember that now. Now, yes, very small guy, pretty good worker, but yeah, they need to do more to flesh him out.
Yeah.
Make him stand out so, you know, people who actually watch the show remember his name 5 days later.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The in-ring stuff was really good. And what you said about Matt Taven, I got to back up a little bit. The crowd does not like Matt Taven. Like a legit, I'm booing you because that's how good your character is. Because he is annoying. He's in a good way. He does what he's supposed to, and you want to see him get smacked around. And I don't remember him being like that when he was with Mike Bennett. And it took me a second to realize that was him. But the one thing, he came down with the other two guys of the Kingdom. They brought an axe to the ring.
Yes. Vinny usually carries an axe.
So Marty Scurll brought an umbrella in the ring. So he went outside and got the axe. And I'm sitting there going, what? And the referee immediately goes, all right, the umbrella's out of here and the axe is out of here. And the guy freaked out that he was taking his axe away. I'm like, all right, that's kind of funny. And that's when it started dawning on me that a lot of these matches we watched were full of comedy. Like, the boys in Dalton Castle.
Oh.
And Dalton Castle is not long for Ring of Honor either. I don't know how they'd use him in NXT, but he's not long for Ring of Honor. I don't know what his contract situation is, but that guy's great. In person, he is great. But
That's one of those ones where I'm kind of surprised at how short a time frame he's gone from being introduced to Ring of Honor to being the champion. And I think it's deserved, too.
Yeah. I almost feel like they were a little late on putting the title on him. I think that he reached his peak about a year or so ago.
Well, for someone who doesn't watch that often, I mean, I don't even know when it's on around here anymore. That him having a title was kind of, I knew he had it, but I was kind of surprised. And
yeah,
I don't even know if he really needs it. But
yeah, I was more on the in the camp of Cody really needed to have a long reign, especially if they're you know, trying to sell out a 10,000 seat building in September. But obviously they had other plans. I mean, they've got this match between, I guess another thing that kind of bothers me about Dalton Castle's title reign is he's not being presented as the main attractor, the main event on the show, even as the champion.
No, as long as
it's the problem with other promotions. As long as the
Bullets Club's there, is there, no one will ever be the focus of that promotion.
Right.
And that was clear as day. I mean, I wasn't joking when all you saw were black Bullet Club shirts. From the second we walked in, Bullet Club shirts everywhere. We walked in, nothing but black t-shirts. Oh, and the 98% to 2% male to female ratio, little struggle. Except for the people who brought a baby. And I don't mean a 4 or 5 year old. I mean a baby. Again, the old days of Ring of Honor, that baby would have been sacrificed. Remember that kid that was swearing at the show? We all started chanting Wash's mouth out?
Yes, yeah. I do remember that.
Just waiting for that baby to start crying because I was going to start a chant, kill that baby. God.
People probably would have joined in that one.
Yeah, I would have been like, kill that baby. And everyone would be like, kill baby that. What? I'm like, no, never mind. Never mind. You guys couldn't do it. But the so there's a couple of things about my experience. One, beer price is relatively nice. A 40-ounce Coors Light was only $5. That ain't bad, considering most concert prices are 12. So that was nice. And except for the beer selection sucks, because I've mentioned Coors Light. How can I put it? There's a couple items. I've never seen a show of any sort, to where you go and the food line is longer than the beer line. I couldn't believe I walked right up to the beer stand and got one while there was 50 deep waiting for nachos or pretzels or whatever. And then I just kind of turned and looked and was like, well, it kind of makes sense. And just went back to my seat. And you know, when you talk about wrestling, like, you would show somebody like Gargano and Almas. This is why I watch wrestling, you know? And you go, don't worry about the crowd, just watch the show. And then, so when people say, hey, you watch that wrestling, it's like, oh boy. So you want to drag someone to a show. You remember the joke about how NXT guys, NXT fans need to shower? You can kind of just take the NXT off and just put indie wrestling fans, because, yeah, I know all this sounds snobby. I know it does. It doesn't matter because it's all true. But it's like, God damn it. I understand this isn't high society stuff. You're not going to a black tie event. But comb your fucking hair. Just do something.
Well, it sounds like I had a better crowd at the pro wrestling or New Ohio Wrestling event than you had at Ring of Honor.
Well, was High Pitch Eric at yours? I'm saving these. I'm saving these last two.
Eric at yours?
Okay, so one, there were a lot of special needs kids there. Which that surprised me, because unless there was something. And this one little girl was really into it. She was having a good time. And one of the guys yelled at one of the wrestlers, and she, like, shot back and said something to the guy. Me, not realizing who was talking shit, goes, hey, no one's talking to you. And then I looked over and just went, ah, god damn it. I had to pick on, like, the 8-year-old with special needs. I'm like, yep, that's what I get. So, there were no ushers at this place. So, you walked in, there was two people standing at the top. And they go, do you know where your seats are? I was like, I can find them. Okay. What? Okay. Get our seats. We were in the second row on the floor, which, that's in a whole other world. So, you know, like, how the ring's set up, and each aisleway, like, goes diagonally in and all that. People were just standing in the aisles. They would just go right up to the barricade and just watch the show from the barricade. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. Like, no one's going to tell them to leave? Well, there's this... We're watching the match, and no joke, all of a sudden hear this, referee, you can't let him do that! And I'm like, what? What did I... Huh? All right. And just kind of ignored it. And then Frazier's like, did you hear that? I'm like, yeah. That's not the legal man! I'm like, what's going on? Look over, and there's this, like, 6-foot-6 dude, 6-foot-6 dude, skinny guy, with, like, serial killer eyes, standing right at the guardrail. So I'm like, where'd he come from? All right. Well, then I just happened to catch the voice again, and it was him. It was so distracting. He eventually made his way around the entire ring, but you could hear him no matter where he was. And I actually listened to some of the matches to find out if you could hear him, and you couldn't, unfortunately. But we thought we lost him for a while. And then during the Young Bucks match, who's got the sideburns? Is it Nick?
Both of them?
Damn it.
I believe Nick is the dark-haired one.
Okay, then Nick. All right. Well, he went to pick up...
I'm sorry. Matt's the dark-haired one. Nick is the brunette.
Okay, so Matt was selling a back injury. And I'll tell you what, we all thought it was legit, because he went to pick up Beretta, and they both just crumbled to the ground. Not like a pro wrestling crumble. Like, he crumbled and he started smacking his hand on the mat. We're like, oh, he really hurt himself? So Nick's telling him to tag, and he tags out, and Matt's just laying there on the apron. We're like, wow, I think he may actually be hurt. So everyone's like really, really into the match, really paying attention, and then you hear, hey, someone get Matt an ice pack! Not once, but four times. Four times during the match. Someone gonna get him an ice pack? And I'm not as high pitched as this guy was. I can't stress to you how high this man's voice was. and then he just kind of disappeared. But my favorite thing was when I went back and watched it online, you can see him standing in every single corner post. And I was like, yeah. It was just weird. Like, the crowd was kind of dead, so you could hear all the stuff going on. And they really only popped, like, real big pop was when Tennille Dashwood came out, because that was a cool surprise. And she is as beautiful as she looks on TV. That is ridiculous how beautiful that woman is. And then, but yeah, I mean, the matches are fine. I would have liked to have known the characters a little bit more. Could have gone with the presenting a little bit better. And then the crowd, you can't do anything about those, but it was fun. Yeah. But I don't know if I go back without knowing more about them, which is on me, of course. But and also if it's not at 7 o'clock on a Friday, ugh.
Yeah, that's because I know that they're coming here, and it's kind of funny because on TV they've mentioned they're like, they reference these matches that were at the show in Columbus. I'm just like, ah, shit, I wish I'd gone to that. So I was debating going to the next one, but I already know that I'm watching a lot of live wrestling soon with Fastlane. I forgot NXT during the Arnold Classic is first, then Fastlane a week and a half later. Well, a little over a week later, and then WrestleMania. And I think ROH would be after WrestleMania.
Jesus. Yeah, that's a lot. We got NXT as well.
Along with the fact that New Ohio Wrestling has events during the Arnold where they're going to crown their champion, which I'm going to miss one of them because one of them's on my birthday. And I am not going to watch a professional wrestling league on my birthday.
There's worse ways to spend it.
Yeah, but they're having another event later in the year, too, so I'll go to that one.
Yeah. I think I'm done until WrestleMania. Nothing's coming around here. It's been a pretty good... The last few times I've been to wrestling around here, it's been pretty good, so... We missed NXT a few weeks ago, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm glad that NXT is in the venue. It's actually going to be in the same venue that ROH runs in now.
Where's that at? In Columbus. Huh? In Columbus, where's that at?
It's the new... I forget what the pavilion name is now.
Oh.
The outdoor pavilion, or indoor-outdoor facility that's down near Nationwide Arena. I think it's LC Pavilion now. I don't know. That thing's changed sponsorship so many times. I forget which one it is now.
Does Ring of Honor even go to Detroit anymore?
Yeah, Ring of Honor has... Well, they were going to the Moody Art Center in Dearborn, which is by... Well, you, Jeremy, would be...
Yeah, I know where that is.
The Henry Ford, you know, the museum.
Yeah.
But now they've moved to it. They're going to be in Royal Oak at the Royal Oak Music Theater, which is definitely a better location and a nice enough building. And it's actually, same with what Kevin's saying, is that NXT is actually running there in March, and then March 3rd, which actually, I'm actually going to be visiting family in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and as part of my family trip and a Christmas present with from my brother, we're going to the SmackDown, actually, that's in Green Bay on Tuesday, the 6th of March. So I wouldn't be able to make an NXT in, March 3rd. But the Ring of Honor return to Detroit area in Royal Oak at the Music Theater is in May for one of their Global Wars shows with New Japan talent, which I don't know if I can talk, my casual wrestling fan friends, that I hang out with here to go to Ring of Honor, since we watch WWE together. But if they start announcing Omega, Okada, Tanahashi, Naito, etc. for that one, I might even decide to go by myself. Who knows? But I'm definitely waiting for the talent announcement on that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to see the Young Bucks and a bunch of New Japan mid-carders.
Well, that was fun. That was my first experience seeing the Young Bucks.
Really?
They're pretty talented. Like, live. I'm sorry. First time I've seen them live. So, and they're bigger than I thought they'd be, too. Which is, I know, kind of stupid, but they're you know, they present themselves as looking younger than they are, but they look like they're getting bigger.
They do. They actually had a little skit in the, this week's Being the Elite, where Cody Rhodes made a comment about, you guys shouldn't even be junior heavyweights anymore. Look at you. You're ripped. Because he's just trying to, you know, curry their favor heading into his match with Omega.
He's such a dick.
Oh, he is. He's perfect. Oh, did you see that video they did with the last week one where Marty Scurll is singing Avril Lavigne's Complicated?
Yeah.
Over all those clips.
And then, well, that Marty Scurll actually sang at the end of the Concord show, but I can't remember what he sang. So, it's like, okay, so I guess that's going to be the new thing. I'm on board with the people. I don't get Marty Scurll. He's fine. But I don't see, like, the, oh my god, this guy's the greatest or anything. So, maybe I just haven't been watching long enough.
I don't know if I've watched him enough, but I've seen him mainly in tags and multiple person matches, so I guess I don't really get the full experience of him in a long one-on-one match.
But no, yeah, he's taken a bit of a backseat somewhat recently in their product. Like, because when they first brought him in, he won the TV title and had a decent run with it. But ever since he lost that, he's kind of been in the background a little bit. So I don't think that's helped him at all. Because when he busted onto the scene, I was like, oh, there's the reason why I put one of his shirts on my Christmas list that I didn't get. So
dodge the bullet.
I don't. One of the things I know that they saw that they're doing now is they're trying to have Cody push Marty Scurll into actually starting, you know, a villain club, on the shirt, the villain club. Like, I don't know exactly where all this is headed, because, you know, they've got this, you know, they've got the, they're, you know, building towards their All In show in September, which they haven't announced the location for. So all this, you know, strife and dissension in the Bullet Club and where it's all gonna go. I mean, it's definitely created great, you know, pretty, you know, good interest for, you know, the match at, you know, WrestleMania weekend between Cody and Omega, and, you know, and, you know, whose side is everybody on? I think, you know, that's all being done well. But long term, for, you know, the fate of the Bullet Club and maybe more the merchandise line than anything else, you know. And of course, also on the New Japan side of things, which I guess it affects Ring of Honor too.
Yeah.
How deep are they going to go into explaining the personal relationship between Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi?
I honestly don't know what that relationship is.
Yeah, I mean, it's ambiguous. It's got some gay overtones, but I don't know if that's exactly where they're going.
Well, isn't their team called the Golden Lovers?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not exactly overtones.
I mean, undertones
may be a better word.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know what the culture in Japan is regarding homosexuality and, you know, and how conservative, you know, they are over there. I know that they're fiercely anti-drug over there. So, I said I don't know enough about that, but it's all kind of confusing right now, but maybe a good confusing, as I said, you know, because we're heading into this Cody Omega match that's just going to headline, well, up until that point, is going to be the biggest show in Ring of Honor history.
Yeah, and they're having it at the same time as NXT.
That's a mistake. Dumbasses. But there's enough wrestling fans there that, you know, they've already may have broken their record already in ticket sales.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're going to have a good crowd regardless.
Well, I just meant as a fan, why are you splitting the fans? Because have it on Friday, because that's the Hall of Fame. Well, the Hall of Fame's just whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. We did that one time, and I am okay. That was the one time.
Yeah, we only did it the one time, right? That was the Shawn Michaels one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we were pissed because they said on the ticket specifically to dress up for the event, and then we just saw a bunch of bums in t-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we ran into the WrestleMania shirt with the NXT armband guy.
Yep.
Boy, did we look dumb. So, uncomfortable sitting in arena seats in a button-down shirt and slacks like an asshole. Ugh. But yeah, no, the Hall of Fame, those are fine to just have on in the background. And
yeah. Yeah, there's no need to go to one until the year that they put The Rock in. I would say that. Whatever the hell that would be.
I wouldn't go to that one either. I just, you can watch it, especially now you can watch them on the network.
Right, yeah. You know? Okay, yeah, that's true.
We actually had that discussion, didn't we? The thing of the discussion was like somebody's book or something. To someone you don't know much about, if it was like going to be totally honest, like which one would you want to read? And I guess it's kind of the same thing. Like I would love to have an honest John Cena book. Because of the way you hear the wrestlers talk about him and the drinking stories and everything else, because he's such a guarded person that I would love to know real stuff about him. Just to see like what a piece of shit, like, you know. That sounded harsh, but just to know like what a little scummy guy he is. Smashing Mickey James and getting her fired. that sort of stuff.
I mean, I guess the True Serum interview or book. I mean, obviously Vince McMahon is obviously the popular choice. You know what? I wouldn't mind The Rock because he's gotten very guarded and, you know, very political in everything he says, and tries to not ruffle any feathers at all. I like that he's, positive dude, and puts up the image of a nice guy. But once again, it'd be nice to know what he really thinks about some things.
I think an actual honest Hulk Hogan book would be good.
Oh,
can you imagine like real not even Vendetta, just him talking about stuff? He's like, yeah, someone in this match with Andre. And I'm like, I know I'm gonna win. And it maybe be kind of boring actually. He's like, yeah, and I barely picked up Andre because I was so tired. It got to the end, and that was it. And I just knew like I'm gonna make a shit ton of money. I'm banging broads left and right, doing steroids and cocaine and everything else. Like maybe these books wouldn't be all that honest. Maybe these wouldn't be books. I mean, more so just like essays. But. Yeah, a totally honest Hulk Hogan would be fun, but I don't know. We had the discussion sometime, but whatever. But yeah, it's like as far as the Ring of Honor thing goes, to wrap that little thing up. Good matches, weird presentation, definitely weird crowd now. So, oh well.
It's different. It's the worst. Like I said, that's the worst part of the product. Like, I guess I don't mind the cheering for kind of everyone as much as that. I don't know. Okay. Those are the ones to me that, that when you hear the word smark, that's definitely who they're talking to, or who it should be put upon.
What does bother me is everyone who comes out from behind that curtain and down that ramp is at least high-fiving somebody. So that's the presentation of not knowing who the faces and the heels are. You know, just a lot of that is on the talent to actually try and turn these people.
Yeah, that's true.
The direction where you're supposed.
Well, I will say the Briscoes didn't try.
Well, the Briscoes, you know what? They have given up on any hope of being any more than what they are in Ring of Honor. WWE will never come calling again. They're letting the gray grow out in their beard. They're looking rough. They're looking haggard. But it works for what they're doing right now in Ring of Honor.
And that's all. They don't really go anywhere else, do they? They don't do New Japan, as far as I can remember.
They did on occasion. I think that New Japan stopped booking them, and then I don't know if they could do PWG, because the guys who are exclusively signed to Ring of Honor can't work at any other indie in the U.S. except for PWG, and they can take, you know, select international dates when it doesn't conflict with Ring of Honor dates. I think that's the gist of an ROH contract.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess they think they're, well, maybe they think they're stuck then. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I couldn't imagine them in WWE though. So
no, I mean, they were gonna go, and then Jay hit the homophobia button really hard on Twitter, and that was the end of that.
I get, you know, that's kind of funny. That was one of those ones that for the longest time I said that the WWE wouldn't get that gimmick, but they have just really let people ride with what their former gimmick was so frequently recently that maybe someone over there would understand what they were going for and presented it correctly instead of presenting it like the 2018 version of the Bushwhackers.
Not far off. So, it was also very weird seeing Alex Shelley again, because he kind of disappeared for a while. And
yeah, it's so weird that the Motor City Machine Guns are ROH Tag Team Champions right now. It's like, God, it feels like that, you know, their peak in, you know, for what, you know, in TNA was 10 years ago. It's like, and they're still, you know, trying to play the young, you know, babyface fire tag team in Ring of Honor. It's like, you know, there's certainly some of those older acts in Ring of Honor now that might be getting a little longer in the tooth. Because I remember them, you know, the Briscoes versus Motor City Machine Guns was actually like a big match for Ring of Honor and other indies like a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a match they kind of, you know, that you know, that new style of tag team wrestling that's just, once again, just kind of become the style today, you know, was being, you know, originated essentially in Ring of Honor with those two teams, and they're still feuding 10 years later over the Ring of Honor tag titles.
Yes, yeah. I don't know, it's like career stagnation, but I can't blame if there's no interest from WWE, you're getting paid. So,
right, of course.
Good for you.
No. And that's the promotion wants to book them together, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think everyone's running out of gas now.
Yeah, you got that right. So.
And I think we've done a lot of covering.
We really do.
SmackDown, Raw, Ring of Honor.
You guys want to talk about TNA? No one wants to talk about TNA. I understand.
No.
I wouldn't know what to say anyways.
Yeah, still fuck those guys.
They got no star power. There. All right. So thanks for having me on.
Okie dokie. I'm at Frango11. That's at Granny Maze. The other one's at Chris Calamita. Brand's at Stunt Granny. And I will let Jeremy send us out.
No, whenever I'm on, Chris sends us out. But I will say, we watched off and be back this week. Shahid, we were supposed to record tonight, but Shahid went to go see 50 Shades Freed.
Oh my God.
Well, I might.
He's seen all of them in the theater. Do you understand?
That man loves his wife.
Love my wife. There ain't no fucking chance I'm going to these dipshit movies. And just, well, she's the boss. No. It's pretty easy. No. So, yeah, so this is where we watch stuff this week, and I'm actually listening, guys.
I don't have to worry about that, because my wife got halfway through that first book, and she said, this is just a bunch of bullshit.
Yes.
And stopped reading it.
I think Elise read the whole thing, and she goes, we can watch porn. I'm like, yeah, I know. This is just dumbass housewife shit. All right, so Chris, you can take us out.
All right, you all, please rate and review us on iTunes. We really appreciate those 5-star reviews, whether you think we deserve them or not. And two out of the four of us Stunt Granny guys will be here next week. So later.